You are listening to audio from the Church of Christ in Albany, Western Australia. If you'd like to know more about our church community, please head to coca.org.au. We trust that this week's sermon will be a blessing to you.
So evidently today's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Because our esteemed leader is in ISO, that means that on spectacularly short notice, at the end of a ridiculously stressful week, I'm supposed to be speaking to you guys on a topic that I know nothing about. Being a mother. This is going to go really, really well. But actually, that's not strictly true. Because, let's be honest, I've been my mother's son for 55 years, and I've watched my wife be a mother for 25 odd years. So I sort of know a little bit about what it means to be a mother. What I know for a fact is that being a mother is hard work. Seriously, if you'd had to be a mother to the sort of child monster that I was, then you deserve a medal. I also know that being a mother doesn't ever stop. My mum still worries about me and wants the best for me and still wants to know what's going on after all these years. If I was my mother, I would have given up on me years ago. But she doesn't. And she hasn't, and that's just it, isn't it? Mothers tend not to give up. They just keep doing what they do until they can. So if you're hearing this message this morning and you're a mum, please let me be very clear. What you do every day is important and is amazing. And I'm humbled by your ability to do the things that you do and to let you know that you are loved. This morning, I thought it would be a really good time to spend a bit of time in God's Word reflecting on what it means to spend time in prayer as a mother, but also what it means to pray for our mothers. Prayer is a conversation between us and God. It's not something that's meant to be fancy or reserved for special times. It's something that we should want to do all the time. Now, I know Gav's working through Thessalonians with us at the moment, and I don't want to steal too much of his thunder, but 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God wants us to have a great life. God wants us to be praying unceasingly to him. I used to think that prayer was something that you did before you went to bed, or when things were really bad, or when you were desperately in want of something. But, you know, these days, based on this idea of praying without ceasing, I find myself praying when I'm driving, when I'm out riding my bike, when I'm walking the dog, before work, during work, after work. My work needs a lot of prayer. Just any time at all, praying to God. You know, there was a time many years ago when we lived in Katanning. I was younger and more foolish. That's more foolish than I am now. And I preached a message on 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. And in that story, Elijah is stood outside of his cave and he's looking for God. And God isn't in the big wind or in the earthquake or in the fire. But then there's a whisper, a zephyr of a breeze, a really light little sound. And God was there in that quiet. And I made the mistake on that morning of insisting that it's a good thing to look for God in the quiet spaces in our day-to-day lives, because that's where we're most likely to find him. Boy, did I cop it. A particular lady, a mother, and she was the pastor of the church. She was the wife of the pastor of the church. She let me know in no uncertain terms that she has days on end when there are no quiet spaces. Day after day when it is just noise all the time. She let me know in no uncertain terms that she was quite capable of vacuuming, minding her screaming children, watching the dinner and praying all at the same time. And he actually went on to say that quite often vacuuming, minding the screaming children and watching the dinner required prayer to be able to do all those things at the same time. My lesson learned. Pray without ceasing, wherever, whenever, however. So prayer. Prayer is this conversation with God. It's not fancy. It's not reserved for special times. It's something we do whenever we can. But it's also not about how beautifully I can use my words. It's about using words and language that makes sense to me and that makes sense to me in my conversation with God. It makes sense to God. Having a conversation with God praying should be like chatting with your best mate. Because seriously, isn't God our best mate? We should be conversing with God in a way that makes sense to us. Matthew 6 verse 7 says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." It's not about many words. It's not about fancy words. It's about just being honest with God. I had a friend, Dave, and his stepfather had been mugged while driving a taxi, and he came very close to dying. Now, Dave had only started attending church a very short time before this happened. And one night at church, we were having a communal prayer time. And Dave prayed out loud that he hoped his dad would be okay and that the expletive, expletive, expletive blokes who had done it would be caught. I was sitting next to Dave and I was absolutely horrified that I was going to get hit by some missile that someone threw at Dave and missed because of the words that he had used not only in church but in praying. You know what? Pastor just quietly said, "Thank you, Dave. God understands." That was the end of it. All over and done with. Now, I'm not saying that we should run around swearing at God, but the truth of the matter was that in that moment, Dave used the only words he had to express his feelings to God. And in that day, at that moment, that was okay. Psalm 5 verse 1 says, "O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning." And in Romans 8:26, we're told that even when we don't know what words to use, those times when we are beyond words, that the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. How good is it to know that part of our triune God can accept the fact that we don't have the words to express how we feel at times, and that that Spirit will groan on our behalf. And what's even better, how amazing is it that God understands what we need when we groan? There's a song I've been listening to at the moment. It's called "How Good Is It to Be Loved by You?" And in there, there's a line in there that talks about, "Even when I'm silent, you hear me." God knows what it is that we need. There's a lady who works for Altar One in Kununurra. Working with disadvantaged kids in Kununurra is hard work. I thought what Altar One did in Albany was tough, but what they do in Kununurra is magnitudes tougher than anything we will ever do here. She spoke once about getting to a point where she was so low, where things were so bad, where the road ahead seemed so impassable that she felt like she couldn't pray. I think that she felt that there was something wrong with her, that she was ashamed by the fact that she couldn't do that, that she couldn't pray, she couldn't bring herself to pray. But sometimes a conversation has no words. Sometimes it's just raw emotion. And I know that I've sat with Ruth, my wife, on occasion, and there have been no words because whatever it is that's happened has been so upsetting, and we can just sit with each other and we know what's going on. God's the same. God knows what's going on. He hears our groanings, and he understands what it is that we need. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, Jesus says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward that they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private, and then your Father who sees everything will reward you." I just want to say, but the point Jesus is making here isn't that every time you want to pray, you need to go away and lock yourself in a dark cupboard. That's not what this is about. But rather that prayer, that conversation that we have with God, shouldn't be a public spectacle. If you're having a chat with your mate, you don't stand in the middle of Kmart shouting at the top of your voice about how your week's been going. Although there are crazy people who do that. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is that we don't do that. That's not the thing that you do. You don't stand in a public place yelling at someone about how your week's been. You just don't do it. So right, what do we do instead of yelling and screaming at each other in Kmart? What we do is we go and sit quietly in a coffee shop. And we have that conversation with our mate in a coffee shop. And it's just us, private, together. So likewise, our conversations with God should be something that's just between you and God. You can do it in the car, you can do it at home, you can do it while you're out walking, it doesn't matter. But it's just between you and God. So we can pray anytime, anyhow, anywhen. And we should be praying. We should be conversing with God. But you know, conversation is a two-way thing. When we're chatting with people, when we're in conversation, the polite and appropriate way to have a chat is to speak some and then listen some and then speak some more and then listen some more and so on. I remember reading somewhere about one mouth and two ears, and so we should listen twice as much as we speak. I need to learn from that because I speak way too much. But anyway, listen more than speak. But a conversation is two ways. So then prayer as a form of conversation with God needs to be a two-way thing. If we speak to God, then we should be listening for his responses because God does respond. I think we can all be a bit guilty of rattling off a prayer and then just going on our way and not thinking too much about it. But you know, when we do that, what we risk is missing out when God does answer us. How do we know that our prayers will be answered? Because Jesus told us. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. A rock-solid promise from Jesus himself that prayer will be answered. But note the words that are there. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. So yes, our prayers will be answered, but we need to keep on asking. God wants us to. God wants us in conversation. We need to keep doing it all the time, to pray without ceasing. You know, I've stood up here on so many occasions and I've told you guys time and again that there is power in that promise from Jesus. And I can testify from personal experience that God answers prayer and that it is a mighty thing when we recognise it for what it is, a gift from God. When we ask, God listens. When we have that conversation, I ask God, God hears me, he responds. And then I ask again and he responds again. You know, this week I've had a lot going on. It's been a really stressful week. And I found myself in a situation where I probably overstepped the mark a little bit. I said something that I shouldn't have said to somebody. But I was worried and I needed some resolution. And so, you know, I couldn't move on without getting an answer. So I asked a question. I said some words that I probably shouldn't have done. A little bit later, I was driving down Mercer Road and I was flustered and unsure about things. And I realised what I'd done. I realised that I'd done this thing where I'd overstepped, said the wrong thing. So I asked God to forgive me for overstepping the mark. And then I asked if there was any chance that I could get some resolution to my issue. I started a conversation with God. I spoke with God. Because I knew that if I didn't get a resolution, I wouldn't be able to move on with the rest of my day. But you know, I was then looking for an answer. I wanted God to answer my prayer. I wanted that resolution. You know what happened? 10 minutes later, my phone rang and the person on the other end of the phone gave me the answer I needed, resolved my issue, and I could move on with the rest of the day. I asked. God responded. But I was looking for that answer. And so when God responded, when he answered my prayer, you know what I did? I stopped everything that I was doing. And if the ground wasn't so far away, I would have got down on my knees, but I didn't. I stood there. But I thank God for answering my prayer. I thanked him for giving me the resolution that I needed. And straight after that, I felt this overwhelming sense of calm come across me. I spoke, God responded. I spoke again, God responded again. My life has been just example after example after example of God listening and responding to prayer. He does it. So mums, and I guess everybody else, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter if things are madly out of control, hectic, or peaceful and quiet. It doesn't matter if you've got beautiful words or just ugly groanings. God is always there and is always listening and would always answer our prayers if we let him do that. So that's us praying for ourselves. What about praying for somebody else? So the technical term is intercessory prayer. It's a big word. It just means praying for somebody else, interceding on their behalf. So I'll tell you another story from my past. Many, many, many years ago, I was living in Tom Price and I was attending the Baptist Church, and at that particular time, the Baptist Church had a part-time minister who had a full-time job in the local mine and was part-time ministering to our church. And so as a result of that, we had a series of blokes that used to come through and preach. So on this particular Sunday, there was a bloke, we'll call him Greg, and he was preaching. Now, Greg had obviously spent a lot of time preparing his sermon. His sermon was about 25 words long. I can almost quote it to the word this 30-odd years later. Morning all, we're going to spend the next 25 minutes praying quietly about whatever it is that you feel led to pray about. Let's pray. End of sermon. Nice work, Greg. So the following week, we had another bloke. This guy we're going to call Trevor. Trevor was on to preach. Now, Trevor actually spent some time preparing for his sermon. But he started by speaking on all of the things that he'd struggled with while trying to pray quietly for 25 minutes. And he talked about all the things that he'd thought about when he should have been praying. He thought about what was happening in the coming week. He thought about what lessons he was going to teach at school. He spent a bit of time pondering the end of a particular TV show. He thought about what he was going to have for lunch and so on and so on. And Trevor said he got to the end of his 25 minutes and he realised that he hadn't actually prayed at all. He'd spent that whole time flapping around thinking about other things. But what he went on to explain was that he'd missed the idea that he was to pray about the things that he was led to pray about. And that instead of going straight into this is too hard, I'm just going to think about my weak mode, what he should have done was he should have said, hey, God, what do you want me to pray about? Let God answer, and then gone on from there. He wanted God, or needed God, to guide him in his thoughts and prayers. So when Maury McCredden was still with us, he used to come up to me every Sunday, and he would tell me that he had been praying for me during the week. And he would tell me, I've prayed for you every day this week. He told me that I was on his list, which is always scary to hear. You're on my list on the fridge. Okay, I'm praying for you every day. And you know what he would say? He said, I'm going to keep praying for you until God tells me not to. And dear Maury passed away, and when he passed away, I still hadn't heard him say to me, God said, I shouldn't pray for you anymore. So I want to believe that every single day until Maury's last, he prayed for me. And not only did he come and tell me that he prayed for me, but he always wanted to know what was going on, how I was going, what were the things that he could pray for me. And it was so amazing to know that someone was praying for me every day. Now, I know that Maury had that same conversation with other people every week as well. And he was an amazing man who loved to intercede on behalf of others. James 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. 1 Timothy 2, 1 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. And Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So we need to know who to pray for, and we need to know what they need prayer for. And again, we come back to this idea of conversation, but real conversation, conversation that runs in two directions and is open and honest. If you ask someone how they're going, then we should expect them to be honest with us. And when they are honest, we need to be open to the idea that that person we are talking with might like to be prayed for. Those verses I read about intercessory prayer, they don't say pray for the people who are in dire straits. They don't say pray for the people who are hurting. They don't say pray for people who are doing it tough. What they say is it says pray for all people. Pray for everyone. Pray for each other. There's no ifs or buts or maybes. Pray for everyone. How are you today? Oh, I'm going great. I had an amazing week. It was so awesome. Everything went well for me. That's great. Could we pray? Can I thank God on your behalf for the amazing week that you had? What are you going to say? Absolutely. We're called to pray not just to God unceasingly for ourselves, but we're called to pray for others as well, to intercede on their behalf. I can tell you that there is great power in being honest about what's going on, good, bad, or indifferent, and then now allowing other people to pray into that space on our behalf. How often do you tell other people that you've been praying for them during the week? How many of us can honestly say that we've prayed for somebody every day this week? And if you did pray for someone at any time in the week, did you tell them? Did you let them know? Now, we get regular emails from church asking us to pray for this or that. Sometimes it's an urgent prayer. Sometimes it's sad news. Sometimes it's rejoicing this great news. And I know that many of us follow up on those requests and pray for the situation in question. It's what we should do. It's what the scriptures tell us to do. It's what God expects of us. But I have to say again, one of the greatest blessings a person can receive is to know that others are actually praying. And the only way they can know that is if we tell them. And what's really awesome about those conversations, you go to someone and say, hey, I've been praying for you this week. How are you going? And they tell us. And it turns out that all those things we've been praying for, God's been answering those prayers. And if you don't have that conversation with someone, if you don't ask them how they're going, if you don't tell them that you're praying for them, they're perhaps not going to come back to you and tell you what's going on. You're not going to know that God answered your prayer. There is so much personal power, so much amazing grace to be taken from knowing that God not only has heard us pray, but that he has answered those prayers on behalf of somebody else. It's a truly amazing feeling to hear that. I want to do a little aside here and make sure you understand that while today I've been implying prayer and praying for people in the church, there's a whole world of people outside our walls that need our prayers too. And I love the fact that I can be the bloke to tell you that even the most ardent non-Christians out there will often be secretly delighted when you ask them if it's okay to pray for them or when you tell them you have been praying for them. Back in my Katanning days when I was chaplaining, there was a particular guy there who his wife worked for the school as well. And they'd been going through a really tough time. This particular bloke was very anti-Christianity, and he was sort of anti, not me, but my role. You know, he didn't agree that there should have been a chaplain in the school. And so our relationship was at times a bit frosty. But while they were going through this tough time, I sat with him one lunchtime and I said to him, oh, yeah, I've been praying for you guys. The look on his face when I told him that was something that I will never forget. He was absolutely gobsmacked. He didn't believe in my praying for him. He didn't think that was important. What he thought was important was that I cared enough not only to pray for him, but to tell him that I was doing that. That the God that I believed in was worthy of talking to him about this bloke. From that day on, our relationship was just a completely different thing. He didn't ever become a Christian. I doubt he's ever darkened the door of a church since. But the change in his attitude to me at that time was quite phenomenal. So again, I can tell you there is just so much power in being able to express to somebody the fact that you have been praying for them and that we should do it more and more. So today is Mother's Day. And today is a great day to start telling the mothers in our church and in our wider communities that we are praying for them, or that we will be praying for them. And not only to be telling them that, but to be asking them what it is that we can be praying about for them. What can we pray for on their behalf as mothers? But you know what? Today, the same as any day, is a great day to have a conversation, a real conversation with anybody in our church about how they are going, and to be offering to pray for them no matter what their circumstances might be. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How amazing to know that our God in heaven wants us to be able to rejoice, who wants us to pray unceasingly to him, who wants us to give thanks, who wants to answer our prayers and to give us the will of our hearts. How amazing is that? Let's pray, shall we? Our Lord and our Saviour, we just thank you and praise you for the fact that you're God, Lord, that you hear everything that's in our hearts, Lord, that you hear those things that we have words for, Lord, that you hear those things that we don't have words for. Lord, that when we groan, that you know what we're talking about, Lord. You know what's in our minds and in our hearts. And, Lord, this morning we would just pray particularly for the mums in our church, Lord. Being a mum isn't always easy, but I also know that being a mum is just a thing that can be filled with joy. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the mums in our church, Lord. We thank you for all our mums. And, Lord, we would just pray that today they would feel a special portion of your blessing on them today. And, Lord, I would just ask that as we go into the week, we would be real about the conversations that we have with you, Lord, but we would be real about the conversations that we have with other people, Lord, and that we might bring you into those conversations, and that we might be able to be praying for the people that are around us. And just ask these things in your name. Amen.